is a wonderful, wonderful Lord's Day. And to be able to come and to sing praises unto God, to be gathered together with the saints. Amen. As we started on last Sunday morning with our pre-examination, getting ready for the self-examination. And we will continue with this through next Lord's Day. For today, as we get started, last week, I wanted you to prep yourself, starting with the head, going down to the feet. You could have done that any way you wanted to. But today I want to suggest to you to strip your minds. Strip your minds. Because when you go in for your examination, it depends on what part of the body that they are examining. If it's your eyes, they will tell you to take off your contacts. If it's your upper body, they will tell you to disrobe from the neck to the waist. It's the lower extremities from the waist to the feet. I want you to strip your minds on this morning. Strip your minds. And as you strip your minds, we're going to cover from head to feet once again. Well, in the book of Matthew, Jesus says, chapter 22, verse 37, Jesus said unto them, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. It's everything, isn't it? Can't leave out anything. When we go to the doctor, he wants to know what's ailing you, what's troubling you. Doctor, my thought process is all messed up. What do you think is causing that? Well, if you are a Christian and your thought process is all messed up and you're praying to God and you're asking Him, Lord, what is the problem? Many times the answer is you are not loving God with all your mind. You're not loving Him the way you're supposed to love Him. You're putting something in place of loving God. You're putting family before God. You're putting work before God. You're putting your recreational activities before God. You're not loving Him the way you need to love Him. With all your mind. With all your mind. That encompasses a lot, doesn't it? It says in verse 38, this is the first and great commandment. First and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Can't get around love. You love self, you will take care of self. The doctor tells you not to do something and you want to continue to live, you want to continue to be healthy, you will do what the doctor says. But if you don't care, then one ailment leads to another ailment, to another, till you find yourselves not being able to function the way you used to function. God wants the best for His children. So we need to stop and just do a self-examination. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. The verse is 5. 2 Corinthians 13 and the verse is 5. Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. Except ye be worthless. Now, the doctor that you go to see, do you trust him? He's the one with the medical training, with the background, in order to tell you what's wrong with you. This is the type of doctor that I try to stay away from sometimes, is the one that when you go in there to talk to him and there's something minor, he go to the book. Let me see what the book says about this cough you have. Doctor, just prescribe me some medication. I'm pretty sure I'm not the first person you've seen with a cough before. But as Paul writes here, and he told the church of Corinth to examine yourselves, what do you be in the faith? Now, this is going to cause us to go to the book to find out what it means to be in the faith. Find out what it means to live like God wants us to live in order not to be reprobates or worthless people. They were worthless. God gave them up to a reprobate mind in the book of Romans chapter 1. It was worthless. Their mind wasn't any good. They were not trying to examine to see whether or not they were in the faith, because the scriptures teach us that they were not in the faith. It's straight away. We need to take time and just look at what we're doing. We need to examine what we're doing. We need to look in ourselves to make sure that we are pleasing in the sight of God. Amen. Self-examination. Examine all your ways. Not just some of them, but all your ways. From head to foot. From head to foot. From top of your head to the bottom of your feet. Examine yourself. We're going to start with the head, of course, with the heart, the mind. And we're going to make sure this morning that we are doing what we're supposed to do. And if not, what are we going to do to change? What are we going to do to change? In the book of Proverbs chapter 4 and verses 23, we read it on last week and we're going to read it again. Proverbs 4 verse 23. As he tells what happens with the heart. Now some would look at it and say, well, this is that the heart that he talks about in the body that pumps blood. But I want you to look at it as the heart that's making the decisions for you to walk the way God wants you to walk. Keep thy heart with all diligence. For out of it are the issues of life. I'm going to say, well, that issue of life is that blood that's flowing. I want to tell you that this morning that the issues of life are dealing with the way that you're walking in accordance with God's Word. And if you're not walking right, you're going down the wrong path. You're not guarding your heart the way you need to guard it. And you need to stop and you need to examine your ways and you need to say, I need to turn around. I need to go into a different direction because I'm living a foot loose and fancy free life, and that no matter what I come up against, I'm just going to go in it with head first and with all my might, whether or not it's right or whether or not it's wrong. This is what I'm going to do. You can't live like that and be pleasing to God. You have to examine yourselves. You have to make sure that you're guarding your heart and you're making the right decisions so that God can say, this is one of my servants and I am pleased with him or pleased with her. In Luke chapter 6, verse 45. Luke chapter 6, verse 45. Look at verse 43. Come down to verse 45. This mind is a very important part of our living. And the ways, and the things that we do, the things that we choose to do. I was talking to a brother this morning in reference to the mind, the way people think and the things they do, and you have to be careful with certain people. What I want to suggest to you this morning, we need to be careful with self. We need to be careful with self. Because a lot of times our minds are not thinking the way they need to think. We're not doing the things that we need to be doing. We're not hanging out with the people that we need to be hanging out with. It says in verse 43 of Luke chapter 6, "For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do gather figs, nor of bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh." You ever been around someone and they were talking and they said a word that made you want to step back and they catch themselves and they say, "Oh, I'm sorry. Didn't mean to say that." You know what that tells? That tells the type of people that they generally hang around. It tells the way that they generally talk when they're not around other Christians. And then when they're around other Christians, they forget who they're around and they say things that they are not supposed to say. What does it say? A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. Good people don't speak bad things. Good people do what is right. Good people hang out with other good people. Let's understand hanging out. Hanging out is not necessarily going and talking to a sinful man and trying to get him to turn away from his ways. You're not hanging out with him. You're trying to tell him he needs to get his life right. You're not participating in the things that he participates in. But when you hang out with him, when y'all are ace, boom, coons, y'all are doing all the things together, that's a problem. There is a problem. Continues and says, "That which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. Of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh." So we need to say the right things by hanging out with the right people. Amen. And then we hang out with some of those, or we associate with some of those that are not doing right. We're trying to get them to do right. And if we keep saying the things that are good, they will either do one or two things. They say, "Man, I don't come over here no more." Or they'll say, "Man, I'm going to go with you to Bible study. I'm going to go with you to worship because I want to know exactly what you're learning." And we, the Bible says, we're known by our fruit, the ones that we hang out with. So let's get our minds right. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Let's stay focused. Let's make sure that all is right in the eyes of God. Because it's becoming a Christian, we can't live the way we used to live. We can't think about the things that we used to think about. There needs to become a change in our lives. Have anyone ever told you, you're not the same anymore? I can't be your friend anymore because we don't think the same. We don't want to do the same things. And say, there's a reason why. Because I'm no longer of the world. I'm a Christian. I'm a disciple of Christ. I'm a pupil of Christ. I'm a follower of Christ. We're to be dedicated to the ways of the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. "Whereby gird up your loins of your mind." I asked you earlier to strip your minds. But here he said, gird up your minds. Prepare your minds. "Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. See, there were times where we did things that we really wasn't aware that we were doing something that was wrong. But he said, don't go back to those things. "But as he which has called you is holy, be ye holy in all manner of conversation" or conduct. It's all about the mind. What do you want to do? How do you want to live? Train your minds to do what is right. Train your minds to do what is right. How can you train your mind? Well, let's do a reboot. You know, a lot of times Anita may call me or I may be talking to her and she mentions that her phone is not acting right. And I say, turn it off. Turn it back on. It worked. You know, sometimes we forget what we tell other people. Yesterday, my phone was acting up. She said, "Have you turned it off and turned it back on yet?" Don't say a word, just do it.
Oh, that worked, didn't it? See, we need to reboot our minds. We need to reboot our minds. We need to clear them of all nonsense. And we need to understand what we need to do once they're cleared. Let's go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Look at verse 1 and 2. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. Paul writes to the church of Rome here and he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now the good thing about what Paul is saying here, he's not going to ask you to do anything that you're not able to do, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. By the renewing of your mind. Don't think the way you used to think. Don't go and do the things you used to do because you're thinking a different way now. The decisions that you make, they're based upon God's word. The decisions that you make, a lot of times what we do before we go into any discussion about it, we go into prayer because we want our minds to be right. We want to do the will of the Father. Guard your hearts. Guard your hearts. We need to stay focused. We need to stay focused. How do we stay focused? What are we looking at? What are we looking for? What are we looking toward? How do we stay focused? In Proverbs 4:24, I'll stay right there. Don't go nowhere. Proverbs 4:24. As we look at what he says here, he's dealing with our communication, and we're going to come to that as well, but we're going to go ahead and read it now. Proverbs 4:24. Put away from thee a forward mouth and perverse lips. Put far from thee. Verse 25. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Stay focused. Stay focused. That's simple, listen. I want you to look right here. I want you to get a focal point, and I want you to look at it, and I don't want you to leave away from it, but I want you to understand something. As you're focusing upon that focal point, do not allow it to put you in a trance that you don't know what's going on around you. You understand what I'm saying? A lot of people, they do things to themselves that God is not pleased with. They're looking at something, and they're allowing themselves to realize nothing about anything else but what is in front of them. I want you to know that as we are looking toward the prize, we have to beware of our surroundings, but not allowing them to affect us. Not allowing them to affect us. As Peter was walking on the water, he was looking at Jesus. And the waves were coming up around and about him. And as the waves were coming around and about him, he took his focus off the Lord and he worried about all of those other things and he began to sink. And the question that Jesus asked him, when did you lose faith? When did you lose faith? When did you take your focus off of me? Again, we have to pray and we have to watch. We have to pray and we have to watch. We have to keep focused. We have to know what we're moving toward. And we have to know as we're moving toward those things or moving toward that goal that the goal will never move, but we can move ourselves. In Psalm 101, verse 3, we need to stay focused. Psalm 101, verse 3. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. It is not going to be able to catch me off guard. It's not going to be able to grab me and hold me and not allow me to focus on what I need to focus on and turn away from the Lord.
You need to stay focused. You need to stay focused. Have you ever lost sight of the goal? The reason we lose sight of the goal many times is because we fail to set those small goals in place in order to reach that big goal. See, in order for us to get to heaven, which is the ultimate goal, there are some things we need to do up on this earth. We need to get our minds right. We need to stay focused. And as we're staying focused, we need to make sure that we put things away from us that don't need to be there. No sin is going to enter into heaven. No sin is going to enter into heaven. And when I say no sin, no sinner. No one that has died in sin is going to be able to enter into heaven. I don't care what anybody tell you that we serve a merciful God. We serve a loving God, and He's not going to allow some man that does not deserve the prize to get the prize that the ones that are being obedient to Him deserves. No way. No way. That's the type of God we serve. So we need to stay focused. Job 31, verse 1. Job 31, verse 1. Have you ever considered my servant Job, the just and upright man, one that feared God and shunned evil? Job, a just man. The devil tempted him. But you know what Job did not do? Job did not lose focus. His wife lost focus. His wife tried to cleave to him and pull him away from God and say, "Why don't you curse God and die? The things in which you're going through, no man should have to suffer those things. Curse him and die. Get it all over with, Job." Job knew better. Job knew better because he was a just man, one that feared God, understood God. In Job 31, verse 1, "I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a man? To cover me with my eyes. I know what my eyes should do. And I told my eyes, you're not going to look that way. You're not going to do those things. You're going to continue to hold on to God. You're going to continue to focus on Him, because understanding, sometimes looking is just as bad as doing." A lot of people don't believe that. But you know who said it? Job said it. You know who else said it? Jesus said it. Let's go to the book of Matthew. To the book of Matthew, chapter 5. And the verse is 28. Matthew chapter 5, and the verse is 28. You know, a lot of times we say, "Oh man, ain't nothing wrong with looking. I can look all day long." But the military taught me that 8 seconds is 8 seconds too long. You know how the little kids used to say, "He's looking at me. She's looking at me. Mama tells them to quit looking at me." You were looking at them too long. Simple as that. When a woman or a man go and tell someone, "Hey, they were looking at me," and as they were looking at me, they never would turn away, but they kept on looking. I would look off, and then I would look back, and they were looking. Well, you know what was really happening? Y'all were looking at each other. That's exactly. How do you know how long they were looking at you if you weren't looking at them that long? So both of you just as guilty. So both of you need to train your eyes and do the things that are right. But we find in the book of Matthew chapter 5, what verse did I tell you? 28. Read that, Brother Brian.
"But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart."
One is just as bad as the other. I'm not telling you that if you look and you've already committed this adultery, you might as well go lay with her. No, I'm not saying that. Same with the woman. I'm not telling you that you looked and you committed adultery in your heart, you might as well go lay with him. No, I'm not telling you that. I'm telling you, you need to train your eyes. There was a man one time, he went to the swimming pool, taking his grandkids, and his wife was with him. Older gentleman, mind you. And his wife said, "I know you were looking." He was like, they were there. Couldn't help but see him. But you know what? I want you to understand sometime that we need to say, "No, I'm not taking my children to a place like that, because I know what goes on. No, I'm not going to go, and I'm not going to be, you know, submit myself with around these type of people, because I know how they dress, I know what they're doing, and I know what they're trying to do." We need to make a covenant with our eyes. You know, a lot of people say the wife is their husband's best subject, where they get the best material. There was one time, and I'm just telling you this real quick. There was one time we would look at people, and Anita and I both looked at them and said, "Did you see her?" And she was sort of a big woman. And I was, "Yeah, I saw her."
And one day she figured out that I wasn't just seeing the big women that would pass by, but I was seeing all the women. You can't help but see them. They're walking by you, you see them, and we just have to train our eyes. We have to make a covenant with our eyes. Because a lot of times when you see one person, you may just look at them for a couple of seconds, but when you see another, you may look at them for a lengthy time. A lengthy time. And brother asked me this morning, how do you measure time? It all depends on what you're looking at. It all depends on what you're doing and how you measure time. Again, if we do not make a covenant with our eyes, if we do not stay focused on the prize, we will not get there. We will not get there. Again, that scripture says, but I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her committeth adultery with her already in his heart. Now again, you can look at someone over 8 seconds and not commit adultery in your heart because you're not lusting after her. You see the difference? Oh, you look good. That's fine. Okay. She looked good. He looked good. That's fine. He looked good. Let's leave it at that. Let's move on. Don't allow your mind, going back to the beginning, to think about things that you should not think about. Do not allow your eyes, you know, no matter what some women have on, men have a tendency just to undress them. As I asked you earlier, to undress your minds. Strip your minds. We don't need to be stripping people. We need to be focused on what God wants us to be focused on and do what is right. Head to foot, we need to examine ourselves, don't we? We need to make sure that we're living the way God wants us to live, doing the things that God wants us to do. We're going to pick up right here on this evening when we come back. And I'll go ahead and show you what we're going to be talking about. We're going to talk, watch your mouth. Watch your mouth. Have you ever told anybody that? Watch your mouth. Watch the things that you say. You need to watch your mouth. You need to wash your mouth out with soap. See, those are the type of things that we need to think about when we think about examining whether or not we are in the faith. We need to examine. Look at our minds. Keep our eyes focused. Then we're going to come to the mouth. And basically what we're dealing with on this morning and this evening, we're dealing with the upper extremity of our body, our head. Where you have your mind, where you have your eyes, where you have your mouth, and your ears. That's what we're dealing with. So this evening, we're going to look at the mouth, and we're going to look at the ears. And I hope that you come back. Because if you miss any part of this examination, you're going to have to start all over. You have to start all over. Got to reschedule you. So come back this evening for the third part. On last Sunday, we had the first part. On this morning, we had the second part. On this evening, we're going to have the third part. And then on next week, Lord willing, we're going to have the fourth part. And you know, as we talk about this, examining ourselves, many times we fail to do it. But you know what happens when we fail to examine ourselves? Someone else points out our fault. What did you say? Why did you say it the way you said it? Do you know what you're saying? Do you know what you're looking at? See, somebody, somewhere that's living right, the Bible tells us in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, when your brother is caught up in a fault, when his mind is not where it needs to be because you hear all the things that he is saying and you know that those things are not right, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering whom? Yourself. We have to go back and examine ourselves. That's all part of examining ourselves. Considering ourselves to make sure that we don't fall prey to whatever they're falling prey to or something just as bad. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Judge not that ye be not judged. For the measure in which you judge, the same shall be measured unto you. If you have something in your eye, don't try to get anything out of anyone else's eye. Can't get the speck out of your brother's eye if you got a beam in your eye. Let's do what is right. Let's examine ourselves and let's make sure that we are doing what God is pleased with. If you're here this morning, you're not a Christian. You want to become one? The opportunity is yours to come to make the confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, to be immersed in the water of baptism in order to put on Christ
to become a child of God, to become a Christian, a follower of Christ, and live a faithful life. That opportunity is yours. Maybe you're here and you're straight away from the fold. We're asking you to come back this morning, confess your faults, and allow us to pray for you that you may be strengthened. As you stand and sing the invitation hymn, we ask you to please come.